Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Go ahead, Janice. Tell them what we're doing here.
We are in Australia.
Yeah.
We're in Perth right now.
We were in Perth, and we wanted to do at least one podcast from Down Under. Anyway, it's great to be able to take this time in your room. I was able to come to Jillian's room.
Yeah. Pretty uneventful, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty uneventful.
Too famous for this. No. Kidding. You know what's interesting? I don't know. I feel like this is going to come so far after the fact. But I'm dealing with it right now. So part of me wants to talk about it right now. And I realize, like, if you Google my name, nothing but horrible crap comes up. Nothing.
I've Googled you.
No, trust me, please. No. Trust me. I'm dealing with it on many different levels. But it's like, the thing is, I don't have, like, it's not like you follow me like an actress to see what I wore to the charity event. And I don't do that. You know, it's not like, oh, Kim Kardashian goes to the Vogue ball in a little black dress. And, you know, that's just not the kind of stuff I do. Yeah. I'm not an actress. Or it's like, it's not like, oh, Jillian's dating like the hot so-and-so of the month. You know, like I'm not. So unfortunately, it's like the stuff that gets written about me are just these insane headlines from print interviews where they don't air the full interview. You don't see the account, you know, the tone, you don't see the context. And so, you know, literally in the last 10 years of my career, but more importantly in the last 5 years, I have been accused of everything, of abusing my kids, of hating pregnant women, of thinking pregnancy ruins a body, of hating gays, of being ashamed to be gay, of not loving Heidi, of being a cheater. I literally, the only thing they've missed is racist and drug addict. So, I mean, that should be fun. I can't wait to see those headlines. Yeah, it's like Jillian Michaels. Yeah, it's like Jillian Michaels doesn't lotion daughter. You know, what a racist.
Right.
Like, it just, who knows? You know, I've really worked hard on being vulnerable and opening up to people about, look, I have parts of my body that I don't like. I hate my butt. And you know what? Jillian Michaels has a terrible self-image. She's a total fraud, says she hates her butt. And it's like, And I'm of course, it was a print interview. And I was trying to say, like, look, nobody's perfect. We all have parts of our bodies that we don't like. And then it's like, okay, you know, I got asked about physically having a child years ago. And because I wasn't totally forthcoming about having endometriosis, the Huffington Post created a headline that I think pregnancy ruins a body. Which, of course, I've never said. Or the LA Times turned around. This they just made up on their own and said I was an actress with no certifications, which, of course, I have 4 certifications and do continuing education for trainers and own a sports medicine facility for 5 years and have been doing what I do for 23 years. But it just, you know, you can't. And so the one that I'm speaking of as of late is the one about being gay. And I gave an interview. And she was asking me about opening up my family and reality shows. And I was honest because I never get on the whole. I just don't feel like the way to make progress with regard to civil rights for the LGBT community is by bitching and moaning. I always felt like, you know what? Let's show everybody that we're people just like them and allow them to get more comfortable with gay people, because there are a lot of straight people that are uncomfortable around gay people. And I've had people come up to me all the time and say, you know, I didn't like gay people. And then when I found out you were gay, it really changed the way I thought. Or I've had people come up to me and say, you know, my parents didn't like gay people. And when you came out, it made it easier for me to come out.
Right.
So I just have always kind of been like, look, you know, I don't try to bash the heterosexual community. And I certainly don't try to change their minds. It's like, look, if you don't like gays, you don't like gays. If you don't look at, you know, if you look at me and you think that you don't like me, I'm not going to try to change your mind. With that said, I will always fight for civil rights, but I try to help people get more familiar, because I am a very high profile gay person, and go, that's not so scary.
Right.
Now, with that said, if we're going to be totally transparent here, I probably get about 500 emails to my company, posts on my social media, hating and bashing on me and my family for being a gay family. And the reason you won't see it on my social media is because there are blocked words like faggot or dyke or...
Do you...
Oh my God, you're burning in hell. How could you do this to those children? You selfish dyke, all the time. So on Facebook,
I don't know why
you can block all of these words. So that nobody sees the comments but the administrator, being me. So if somebody says things like that, their comment won't come up because I blocked that word. So the reality is, you know, I don't just work in Los Angeles and New York and more liberal cities. I don't just work in America. I also have an international brand, and there's a lot of people that are uncomfortable with the gay community. The question was, would I open up my family publicly? And I said, it scares me. Because I don't want my family to get attacked for being gay. Let me be clear. My family, my innocent kids who didn't sign up for a lifestyle in the public eye, and my innocent partner who didn't sign up for a lifestyle in the public eye. Right. And then the next question is, have you always been comfortable? Literally, here's the question. Have you always been comfortable talking about being gay? Not being gay, talking about being gay. In a world where gay females make up 3% of the population, and gay women and men together make up 10% of the world's population. In a world where I've just said, let's look at our country right now. 14 states allow gays and lesbians to adopt children. 14 states in America. Just now, only in the last month, have we switched over from 16 or 17 states in America allowing gays to marry to like 30. Because of one judgment that went through. But in the last year in California, only in the last year have gays been able to marry and have it be federally recognized as well. So for 39 years of my life, gays have not been able to marry. Gays have not been able to have their marriage federally recognized, even in a state that did allow marriage. And, you know, I had to literally switch international adoption agencies 3 times because they wouldn't take a gay person, which is why we started in Africa, you may remember, and ended up in Haiti, because 2 of them would not work with a gay individual. Let's see. Gays can't take communion in most churches. I mean, the list goes on and on. And the thing with marriage is that marriage equates to over 1,000 rights. Not to mention all the gay bashing and all the gay hate that goes on every single day. So you now ask me, am I comfortable talking about being gay? Of course I'm not. Does that mean I don't do it? Of course I do it. Does that mean I'm not out? Does that not mean I'm proud of my family? Of course I'm proud of my family. We've been on the cover of People magazine as a family. If I'm ashamed of my family, I'm not going to be on the cover of People magazine, obviously. Nor am I going to be extraordinarily forthcoming and share my life about my family. But am I comfortable opening myself up to it every single day? No. And it's daily interactions, things like, the eyes you get saying, oh, well, you know, where's his father? When you're there with Heidi, where's the kid's right. father? When you know.
And there's always the curiosity about the father.
You know, and it's little yeah. things like that. Or it could be, you know, you're going to hell for this. And the list goes on and on. So I turn around and I say, and I was speaking amazingly. I was trying to court the heterosexual community that's uncomfortable with the gay community. Because it was a publication that honestly has a predominantly heterosexual audience. So I'm sitting there having a conversation. I was like, no, I can't say that I've ever been comfortable with the gay thing, meaning, you know, people labeling me as gay. Because as you know, I don't believe in labels, period. I believe people are people. I believe we're
love
all
is
human.
Love. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all human beings. Like, oh, she's gay. Like, why am I not just Jillian? Why am I not Jillian? Why do I have to be gay Jillian?
Yes.
Hence, quote, the gay thing. And I was like, I don't think I've ever been comfortable. And I went on to say that, it, mind you, this was a 2-hour interview. And I went on to say, look, you know, if I could date a strapping football player, I would have. Meaning, when I was being bullied for being gay in high school, if you think I didn't want to be the girl that was dating the captain of the football team, who, of course, I wanted to feel, and I'm putting it in quotes again, normal, which is exactly what I did in the interview. I said, look, who doesn't want to be, quote, normal? And I said, quote, meaning what the majority perceives as normal. And what I was trying to say to the heterosexual community is that, please understand, this isn't a choice. Gay people aren't out there to ruffle your feathers or go against God. You know, nobody asks for a harder lifestyle. And I was like, if I could have had an easier lifestyle, then it would have been something I would have chosen. It doesn't mean I don't love Heidi. Obviously, I don't have a choice. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And then there is, of course, Heidi. And she is the love of my life. And I think that's been pretty evident in everything I've ever said and everything I've ever done regarding her publicly or privately. Mm-hmm. So I had hoped that the heterosexual community would get the message of, look, you know, it's hard enough. And please understand that this is not about you. It's not about us trying to, you know, sin against God or, you know, ruffle your feathers or upset your children. I've been in the middle of the country and held hands in a restaurant with Heidi. And I won't tell you what state, but people come up to you and, do you have to do that here? There's children present holding hands.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then what happens is the most amazing thing in the world to me. The entire gay community bashes me like I'm the enemy, which is amazing. And I mean, me who has come out publicly, who is obviously proud of my family. Am I proud of being gay? No, I'm not ashamed of it either. And the reason I say no is I would say to all straight people, are you proud of being straight? To say you're proud of being gay to me is weird because you're born gay. I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of the things I accomplish. I'm not proud of being, quote, gay, because to me it's like saying I'm proud of the fact that my hair is brown. I'm not ashamed of it either. And I never said I was ashamed of being gay. And if I was, I would be in the closet. I said it wasn't easy to be gay in a world where the majority is not. And so I ask you, when you read headlines that say, Jillian Michaels says pregnancy ruins a body, or Jillian Michaels says gay is abnormal, or feels gay is abnormal, or, yeah, oh, here's what it was. Jillian Michaels thinks pregnancy ruins a body, because they can't say because you never said it. And Jillian Michaels feels being gay is abnormal, and they have to say feels because you never said it.
Right.
So they infer it. And the part that absolutely killed me is that the gay community, who, I mean, I don't know how much money I've donated to the Human Rights Campaign. I don't know how many times, like, if, you know, Proposition 8 comes out on HBO, I put out tweets, please watch, thank you so much. Like, I was absolutely stunned and sickened to be bullied by that community. And the fact that we turned on each other, it's so upsetting. I don't know. I must have given at least 100 interviews in the last 3 years about my family and how proud I am of my family. And if you are somebody from the LGBT community who was feeling hurt, if you were feeling hurt, I apologize, because that was never what I wanted. But if you were somebody who went on to bash me, honestly, shame on you. Shame on you, dude. We've got much bigger fish to fry, and it's not infighting that's going to get it done. So that's it. That's all.
As I said, we are down under. You do this great thing in the show where you talk about, I've always wanted to be a rock star. And it's not that you want to be able to be a rock star and go out there and sing, because you said you can't sing. But you like what that feeling, the feeling of it, affords you. And it just makes so much sense. It's like, it's not saying I want to be straight. It's you want the things that the straight community,
I want to walk down the street in Nashville and not have someone yell out the window, "Dyke." That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I want. I want to not get 500 different correspondents in a week telling me that I'm going to burn in hell for bringing children into a gay household. That's what I would like. That'd be nice for me. Well, for all you heterosexual people, sorry for that. Just push the fast forward button. Push fast forward. Okay, naturebox.com. Love these guys. I look forward to this every month, my monthly delivery. NatureBox, in case you don't know, is a subscription service that gives you the chance to discover and enjoy delicious and nutritious snacks delivered right to your door on a monthly basis. And this, of course, means they are Jillian approved. So no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors, smart, healthy snacks. And each snack faces strict quality standards that are nutritionist approved. And as I said, most importantly, me approved. What gets better than that? My snack of the month are my watermelon chews. Delicious. If you want to start your NatureBox membership today and get a free sample box of their most loved snacks, all you got to do is visit naturebox.com/Jillian to get started. That's naturebox.com/JILLIAN. Audible.com, back on the podcast. Pretty exciting. Who are they? A leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. A consumer service that allows users to choose the audio versions of their favorite books. With a library of over 150,000 titles, you can purchase individual books, or for real savings, you can sign up for an Audible listener program, which gives you book credits. Heidi has a ton of these, by the way. I use them all the time. She gets some PO. Sorry, going on. Book credits each month for a low monthly fee. So you can download any book of your choice, and you can access it on your PC, you can burn it onto a CD, you can upload it to your iPad or any other MP3 device. It's quick, it's easy, it's fun, it's affordable for people of all ages. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. As I said, they've got over 150,000 titles, virtually every genre. You're going to find what you're looking for. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial by signing up today at www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. All right, so here in Australia, I've come to learn about something called the tall poppy syndrome. Now, I'm pulling this off of Wikipedia to see if I can give you an idea or a description of what this is. The tall poppy syndrome is a pejorative term primarily used in the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and other Anglosphere nations to describe a social phenomena in which people of genuine merit are resented, attacked, cut down, or criticized because their talents or achievements elevate them above or distinguish them from their peers. And I bring this up because I think even though we don't have a name for it, it's something really big that goes on in the U.S. And I think it's a big part of the reason that so many people are afraid to, quote, love themselves more or espouse their good qualities or pat themselves on the back or be proud of their accomplishments. And we talk a little bit about this in the show in Maximize mm-hmm. Your Life. We talk about how people always tell you to be humble and people tell you not to be prideful. And then they tell you, you know, don't get too big for your britches. And who do you think you are? And it's kind of interesting because there's a scenario that I like to talk about. And I think we would all actually be guilty of this. If a kid in college mm-hmm. came up to you and said, you know what? I'm sick of this whole college thing and, you know, just kind of linear, pay your dues kind of thing. I'm just going to go straight to multimillionaire or, you know what, maybe billionaire. This whole, you know, follow the rules and the steps and chronological order thing is stupid. What would you think of that kid?
Well, I'd say you got to be freaking kidding me.
Right, kind of an a-hole, how yeah, dare you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, the kids from YouTube, Google, Facebook seem to be laughing all the way to the bank. And the point I'm trying to make is that society definitely dictates the rules. They definitely have cultural and societal pressures that it puts upon us as individuals of how things need to be done and how we're allowed to go after what we want, what we're allowed to want, by the way. You're allowed to want, oh, the house with the picket fence and, you know, two kids and a happy little marriage. And that's the American dream. But if you turn around and you say, no, I want to be a multimillionaire, whatever, who do you think you are? Oh, I want to be president of the United States. Oh, okay. And, you know,
all the best with that.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. And the thing is, why do we have to judge those people? Well, the reason is because we've been following the rules and we resent it. And so we project it.
So
we project
true.
Our own resentment about following the rules onto those people. And then when it pays off for them, we really hate their guts.
Oh my God. And why are you speaking right to me today? Oh, that's so bizarre. I'm just feeling that. So incredible. That's,
well,
yeah.
The funny thing is I always get the opposite of it. So, you know, I always get the, like, because I didn't follow the traditional path when it came to fitness, you know, trainers, I became well known on TV and it has taken me a very long time to win over the respect of other fitness professionals. But when I go do these fitness expos now, because we're launching Body Shred and I'm speaking to other trainers, I can't tell you how many of them come up to me and they're like, God, I thought you were such an a-hole. I really hated you. And now I really see where you're coming. They're not being mean. They're actually being nice. They're letting me know that, like, they didn't know actually anything about me and they had different perceptions about who I was. Mm-hmm. And there is some resentment of why her? What makes her special? Why is she special? She didn't follow the path that I followed. She didn't do it this way, this way, this way.
Right. Yeah.
But it's when I can sort of communicate. The interesting thing is when I have an opportunity to get to know these other trainers, and by the way, let them know, hey, I want to be really clear with you. I don't think I'm better than you at all. You're the one who thinks you're not good enough.
Right.
Not me. And once you stop thinking that way, then you'll ascend, professionally speaking. So I want you to come at this from two different places. One, and we've all been there, don't get me wrong. If you're resenting that person that you think didn't follow the rules and didn't pay their dues, this is about you. Stop thinking about them. Stop focusing on them. This is about your own resentment for following the rules. And what you need to do is look at those rules and say, which one of them is working for me and which one of them isn't. And as I've clarified before, I'm not asking you to break the law. I'm talking about the rules of what you're allowed to want and how you're allowed to go after it. And as long as you're not being unethical or vicious or malicious in the pursuit of those goals and dreams, it is your responsibility to go after it. And it is your life. And of course, as I've mentioned, this won't be easy. And I say, as I've mentioned, because I know we've talked about this on the show before, and I know I've talked about it in my live show, but I really felt the need to reiterate it and bring it up because it is such an intrinsic part of the culture in our Western speaking world, be it, you know, they didn't mention Canada or United States, but they said other quote Anglospheres. And I'm presuming that means the Western world.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lump the US and Canada into that. And my best advice is that if you are resenting it, it's your job to maybe start following the path of some of those people who didn't. The great thing about a trailblazer is they blazed a trail. Makes it that much easier to follow along on that healthier and happier path. It's not easy to be a trailblazer. And if you are the poppy in this particular situation and you feel like you're being attacked, you know what? Comes with the territory. It comes with the territory. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. And you think you just heard my whole rant. If in fact Janice is putting this in the same show,
No,
who knows? It's not easy, but it does come with a territory without a doubt. And you know, you get the benefit of living the life you want, but it's going to come with a lot of hatred your way. And for the most part, I really do tune it out. It comes a lot harder to tune it out when you have kids, but for the most part, I tune it out and I focus on the positives. I really try to focus on the people that get me, the trainers that I can collaborate with, the trainers that understand me and make me a better trainer and vice versa. You know, we work together and create something amazing. I really try to focus on members of my audience that get my message and get me and I can form a connection with, as opposed to all the people that send me hate mail. I do my best to really focus on that. And there's one thing, it's kind of divergent from the subject matter, but it's important. We see what's inside of us. The world is a Rorschach, so to speak. You know what that is?
You mean Horshack?
Rorschach test.
Oh, I thought it was Horshack.
From Taxi? Where is that from?
I don't.
Horshack.
Yeah, Horshack.
Hang on.
No, wasn't that from Welcome Back, Cotter?
Cotter. Janice, no one knows that show. You're the only one
Horshack,
that's 100 years old.
The Horshack.
That's a show from like 1965.
No, the Horshack when you open up and you see the vagina.
What? That's a Rorschach. And only you would see a vagina.
No, everybody sees a vagina.
No, they don't.
You open, it's either a butterfly or a vagina.
No, it's not, you freak.
I've never said the word vagina so much in 20
stop.
Seconds.
I'm going to try to Google Rorschach, but my hotel has internet.
Rorschach. It's the Horshack test.
No, Horshack is from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh,
Rorschach. 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 What the heck? Wait, this is the wrong one. Hang on, right here. Rorschach test.
Oh my God, it is Rorschach.
What's the matter with you?
Rorschach is a Rorschach test. Oh my God, dude. I am 55 years old, going into my senior years. I can get free dinner at Denny's or whatever.
Welcome
and
back,
I thought it was
Cotter.
Horshack.
Horshack.
A Horshack would be a bordello, would it not? In certain sections.
Yeah,
of
Horshack
the
is a. What the hell's wrong with you?
A Horshack. You
Horshack
could say a bordello.
Is the nerdy guy on Welcome Back, Cotter. Rorschach test.
Oh my gosh.
Is an ink blot test, dude. It's a psychological test,
you
I'm
see
quoting.
The vagina.
No. A Rorschach test in which subjects' perceptions of ink blots are recorded and then analyzed using psychological interpretation and complex algorithms.
Right. And most when the blot is opened, most people
no,
see.
No, like here's one on Wikipedia. Everybody go to Wikipedia right now and see what you think. Unless you're.
Everybody. We'll pause for a
moment. Yeah, pause. Everybody go to the Wikipedia Rorschach test page. What do you see? I see a coyote.
Well, I see a vagina.
What? What's wrong with you? What
you
is wrong
the,
with you?
There's a coyote.
These are the coyote's ears on the left and the right.
Oh,
the two
like
white
a...
dots on the top are its eyes. Point three is its snout, its nose. It's Wile E. Coyote.
Well, yeah, I guess it does. Or a cattle skull. Yeah, I guess I can see the cattle skull. Coyote.
Cattle skull?
I don't know. I see like a G-string. There's the G-string and the part that goes, that protects your flower. Anyway, what were we talking about before we got on Rorschach?
Rorschach!
Yeah, you know, it's 55 years. You don't just change right away.
The Rorschach test.
Rorschach.
The point. Oh, no. What were we talking about?
What were we
about?
Talking about? Oh, my God.
We were talking about what you choose to see. Where you put your energy. This
oh
is deep.
Oh, my God.
This
I'm so sorry.
Thousands of dollars worth of therapy that I was going to give our people in a moment. And you ruined it by saying vagina like 50 times.
I know, I've never
and then bringing back Welcome Back, Cotter, which almost, I would say 90% of our audience doesn't even know what that is.
It was almost empowering to say it that many times.
Almost being the key
word.
Well,
you know what, though? If we were on regular radio, I would have us in trouble because that's what you call titillating the FCC. We would be in trouble.
Oh,
because that's I'm overusing language. I think.
Wait, the FCC gets angry about that word, but rappers come on talking about slapping the bitches and banging the hoes, and that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah, you get a pass on that. But if you say vagina too many times in 30 seconds, then you're gonna get yanked off the air. We're lucky. We're lucky people here today, Julian. Now, hello, dinner's ready. all right, I'm gonna. Let
Maybe
it go.
You're jet lagged.
I think we are both jet lagged because I actually feel a little bit drunk. And I know that I haven't had anything to drink, but neither one of us would say vagina as many times as we have.
No,
if we
it's
weren't.
Just gotten out of hand and all of a sudden I can't seem to get it back. I just can't find my way back to this segment. I'm so sorry.
We're going to have to come back and do a whole separate segment on this Rorschach thing. I think we've gone on way too long.
Should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up.
Well, we're back and far more professional.
We had to have a little drink of water.
And a more professional state
professional.
Of mind.
Yeah, professional. No
so,
more of this.
What I'm going to do
is
give you guys what's cost me probably several thousand dollars in therapy right now for free. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, we were talking about what you need to put your energy and your attention on. And so it related back to haters or positive attention and energy. And it's very often that we, of course, hear the negativity, right. That we always go towards the one person who said it wasn't good enough. Remember when you read all those podcast comments on iTunes and there were like 1,000 comments and 100 were bad and you read the bad ones?
Yep.
Okay. So I was having a day where I was influenced by the bad stuff in the world, or we'll say I don't know, a lifetime of this and my shrink
or a lifetime.
It's a conscious struggle for me every day. I admit it's just a conscious struggle for me every day to focus on the positive. And my shrink was, and my mom has said the same thing to me. You know, she's they'll say, you know, I'll get upset because somebody will give me the finger on the highway, or like they won't let you into traffic. And you're like, come on, man, be a human being. Like, I'm not trying to cut you off. I have to merge onto the other freeway.
Right.
Like, I have to get over. There's nothing, you know, it's not an evil act against you. And, you know, then my mom will say, sweetheart, think about all the people that let you into traffic that day. And, you know, we tend to focus on the one that didn't.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to my shrink about this, he was explaining to me that the world is essentially a Rorschach. And I am a Rorschach for people because I'm a very public figure. People see me and they form very strong opinions on me and who I am.
Oh,
some people see me as the second coming. You've saved my life, blah, 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 which, of course, is not true. And other people see me as the devil. You're the worst bitch in the world, which of course is not true. Obviously the truth is somewhere in the middle, but they see what they want to see. They see what's going on inside of them. And the whole world is like that. So you might have, it's tough to say comments, I guess, because I think a lot of people don't deal with, you know, cyberbullying, but let's say in your life, you've got again, we'll use the freeway or we'll use the highway or we'll use a day in your life, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody holds the elevator for you. Somebody hands you your coffee and says, have a great day, and looks you in the eye and gives you a smile.
Opens the door for
you. Right. Somebody opens the door for you. Somebody's just cut you off in traffic. And that is what gets your attention. Your internal world has been a world where people have cut you off in traffic. In other words, your internal world has been a world where the world wasn't loving for you and wasn't supportive for you, and that's become your reality. And so that's what we focus on. So, you know, for me, I grew up really lonely, and I often feel lonely, which is why I actually love my work, because it makes me feel a lot less lonely. And my shrink is like, Jillian, look at all these people that do support you and that are, you know, do understand you and do, and I have to consciously stop and focus on that and shut out the negative. And I don't engage with it. I block it. I don't read it. I this, I that. Yeah. But that's what you've got to do. That's how you gradually start to turn these things around, is by forcing yourself to stop and pay attention to the one who held the elevator, to the one who, you know, bought you a cup of coffee. It's like these things are the things that we have to put our attention and our focus on. And when we do, the world becomes that much happier for us, because that's what we're putting our focus on.
No, that's great.
So as a tall poppy.
As a tall poppy.
Bringing it back to the segment 5 hours ago.
Yep.
As a tall poppy, when you get all the criticism for going after the things you want, when you get all the haters, when you get all the judgment, there's still going to be those people that support you, those people that are falling behind you on the trailblazed path or up ahead of you that are telling you, come on, hurry up. And that's what you need to focus on.
That's good. You really brought that back.
Good. Now what? Should we end?
Well, I was just... Oh, no. We should, but I was... The only thing I would say is when you're talking about those little things, is to maybe do those little... Practice maybe doing that little thing.
You know what? I think we do. Here's the thing. Oftentimes, we become what we want.
Yes, that, exactly.
And so we do all this stuff for other people, and then we resent when it isn't done for ourselves.
Oh, you're right again. That's so true. That's so true.
Yeah, I know.
If I hold it, because I try to do that every day in my life, and when it doesn't happen back to me,
they get angrier.
Get angry.
I know. And the key is to take care of yourself. Not to be a jerk, not to cut someone off in traffic, but to make sure that you do those really sweet, loving, kind gestures for yourself. Like a friend of mine was really upset because she'd had a hard day and she'd been working and she thought her boyfriend was going to make dinner and he went out and got a drink with friends. And she's like, I just had a hard day and I think of him all the time and I wish he'd pour me a bath and he'd have a glass of wine. I was like, girl, you can pour a bath and a glass of wine in 5 minutes. Do it.
Yeah, good point.
Do it and you'll feel better.
Yeah.
You'll feel better because the guy has enough good qualities. You got to do both. Ugh. You got to accentuate the positive you get from others.
Yep.
And you got to be really pay close attention and be conscious of it. And you got to do the same little sweet
things,
gestures for yourself. I mean, you're not very good at that. Just look what you've done to your hair.
Okay, so here's a question from Paige. Dear Jillian, Jillian, I'm in my early 20s and have a very busy schedule. I work about 70 hours a week, 2 jobs, attend school. Look at you, and you are the same.
No, that's worse.
Which has me drinking coffee like it's going out of style. Yeah. My struggle comes in unplugging. I find I can't turn my brain off. I'm constantly thinking about all the things.
I do the same thing.
You do, and that's why I wanted you to answer.
Oh, my God. I do the same thing. And I mean, I would lay awake at night and play chess in my head. Like, I would play, like, chess is a metaphorical, metaphor, obviously. So, for example, if there was a situation that I was dealing with, I would think, okay, if I do this, they'll do that, and this will end up there. No, that's no good. If I do that, they'll do that, and we end up there. No, that's no good. If I go here, you know, and I literally would do this. over and over and over again. And I could never unplug. Literally, I could never just let go. And Heidi, poor thing, was just like, she's just like, honey, where are you right now? You know, it's like you've had the same conversation with me 10 times today, the same one where my brain will just work on it and work on it and talk it out loud and talk it out loud and talk it out loud. Like the issue you and I were dealing with yesterday.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with that for 24 hours and I just think, talk. And if you are somebody who does that, it's really hard to stop. And what I try to do is allow myself to think it through until I have a game plan. Once I have played out all my scenarios and I have my best game plan, I write it down. Because there's something about writing it down where you feel like, I've got it on paper, I'm not going to forget it, I've thought the whole thing through, and I'm going to write it down. So if you're laying in bed and you're stressed out about something going on at work, or you think you're going to lose your job, or there's something going on, who knows? Think it through, allow yourself to play out the options, mm-hmm. and then write it down and choose a path. And then once you choose a path, force yourself. And the way I force myself to stop thinking about it is, I hate to tell you, I don't know if this is the right answer. I'm certainly not, you know, a therapist, but I do it and it helps me. I distract myself. I will go and hang out with a friend and ask them to tell me about their day. Or mm-hmm. I'll listen to a book on tape. Or I'll watch a movie, or I'll play with my kids, because it is impossible when you're with two kids to be going, okay, if X, then Y, and you know, it just.
Yeah.
So get it down on, come up with your plan, talk it through with your friends. Once you have a solid plan and you know you've dotted the I's and you've crossed the T's, write it down. Take action the following day, or, you know, when you're capable of taking action upon that plan. And then if it's that unplug time, like bedtime, dude, watch a movie, listen to a book on tape, go out with a friend and just let them talk and say, I'm not allowed to talk. Sometimes I'll do that with my friends. I'm like, I don't get to talk. I'm like, I don't let me talk. And my friend Andy's really good at that. She'll just go. And then I'll be like, and she's like, no, I'm talking.
And she'll just go.
Yeah.
And I've met Andy a couple of times. And
I'm like,
Andy,
don't let me know.
Stories.
Don't let me. Let me do it.
I love that.
She's really good at putting blinders on me. Yeah. Heidi, unfortunately, will let me talk. She loves me too much. Andy doesn't care enough.
Right.
Andy will just put blinders on. Heidi's like, uh-huh. Yeah. And then they said they weren't going to make an offer. I know. You want to write a letter. You think it seems desperate. Or you want to show you have no ego. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. And meanwhile, she's watching a YouTube video about chickens. She doesn't look up.
Oh, God bless her. Oh, God bless her. You know, I think that's, we're done.
Okay.
I think we're done.
Fine.
Two reasons. Because, yeah, how can you beat that? Because that was a great advice. And two, we have to get ready for the show. We have to get ready for the show.
All right.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.